moms, isn't it? Happy Mother's Day. I think I always say this every year. It's Mother's Day, but we're going to celebrate Father and Son and Holy Spirit here for a little bit. So, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to celebrate you. We thank you, Lord, for the mothers that have been in our lives, Lord, and how they are a reflection, Lord, of your care and your nurturing, your love. Lord, we thank you for that. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for your everlasting love. Your love, Lord, that has gone beyond eternity, Lord, that's in the everlasting. So, Lord, I pray that we would experience that today, Lord, as your children, that we would dwell and remain in your love this morning. And not just this morning, Lord, but in the coming days, Lord, weeks, months, Lord, that we'd remember to stay in your love, to stay in you. And we just thank you, Lord, that you are working in our lives, Lord, for your good pleasure. You're working in this service, Lord, for your good pleasure. Lord, we just surrender and yield this time into your hands. We commit this service to you. We ask that you would lead and guide and direct it, Lord, that you would have your perfect will and way in and through this time. We just thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won. For you have never failed me yet. Still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. Sing your praise again.
out through the storm, in the gale. His anchor holds beneath the veil, darkness, all of that stuff. If you are in a place like that, his grace is sufficient for you today. Amen. Amen. I was telling my husband on Friday when I went to go get my cast, and I didn't do so well through the process. I'm like, they almost had to scrape me up off the floor and lay me down on the table because it was not, it was felt it was that bad. But anyway, I told him, I said, oh my goodness, it just was terrible and all of that. And I'm like, oh, thank the Lord, he's with me all the time. So every time I would kick my foot, when she'd take out a stitch, I'd kick my foot and say in my mind, thank you, Jesus. So it was awesome. We do have a gift for all the moms. So after we get done, if you mamas want to go over to the overflow room on the table over there, there's some garden rocks, garden stones, and plaques and all that. Choose amongst those for yourself. That just feel free to grab something up from there. And we wish you a very merry Mother's Day. A merry Mother's Day to you all. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day. Yeah, I went around and actually, I think, except for Tara, I think, was the only one I missed. So happy
Red
Mother's Day, Tara.
Yet either.
Individually. Well, she came in early and we were in like worship mode. I was in the worship mode. I've got to go upstairs for a moment. Hang on a second.
Oh, he's.
Keep talking.
Keep talking. Okay. So keep talking. Does anybody have anything to share? Anybody? Anybody? Nobody? Nothing. I didn't plan on feeling dead air, but I guess I can. Oh, yes. Oh, that's a great thing to say. Yes. Next Sunday, before and after? Before and after service, Zeke and Tara are going to do their famous waffles. So it'll be over in the overflow room, and we're so thankful when they do that. It tastes so good. I eat way more than I should, but it's delightful. And so we're just going to get together as a family. This is a really good Sunday to invite a friend or a family member that doesn't normally come to church because they get to know people before service starts. If they come early or, you know, stay after, that's always a great way into someone, you know, getting comfortable.
And what day is that again?
Next Sunday.
Next Sunday. Oh, okay.
Next Sunday.
That would be next Sunday.
That would be next Sunday.
Which is the 17th. Last time we...
18th.
18th? 12 and... 19th. There we go. We're all wrong.
Is it?
Yeah, it's the 19th. 12 and 7 is 19. I learned that in school, so...
Well, la-di-da to you too.
Although with the new math today, who knows, right? Okay, so I was talking to Pastor Gay last night about the message, because a lot of times I'll start doing the scriptures. I don't actually finish it, but do the scriptures. And she goes, well, what if I have something? Excuse me. And I said, do you have something? I might. So this morning, after I had prepared the other message, which we'll get another time, obviously timing of the Lord is everything. Gay said, I do have something, so go ahead and take it.
Well,
it's all yours.
I was remembering a story that I heard about a woman, and I think I want to start with this story. She was involved in a car accident, and in the car accident, she had a short-term memory loss. She had hit her head so hard and gotten a concussion that she forgot everything about her memory and couldn't remember her loved ones, kids, where she lived. She was back like 20 years before and had not met her husband at that point or had any children at that point or lived in the suburbs at that point. She was in a big city, high-rise, penthouse apartment, big hoity-toity job. I mean, she didn't remember any of her life. And so I remember in the story, it was at Christmas time, and in the story, she's watching her son, who is about, I would say probably 8 or 9 years old. And they have gone on Christmas Day to feed the homeless, which she was like appalled because she didn't do that in that life. She learned afterwards to give and to love people and how to, you know, give to others. So can you turn a little bit so I can see Hopi? Hi, Hopi. So anyway, so,
yeah, go ahead, Hopi.
Anyway, so she,
thank you.
She's watching her son at this, Christmas, feeding of the homeless. And, he decided to take a plate to an older man because she noticed that he wasn't eating. And, she was going to make the plate, and the dad, who was the guy that was actually in charge of the homeless shelter, was going to take the food over to the elderly gentleman. And the young boy, 9 years old, steps up and says, "No, Dad, I want to take it over to him." And so Dad's like, "Okay, go ahead, you know." And so he takes it over and he places it in front of the man, and the little boy says to the man, "Mr. whatever your name is, I don't know what his name was, I brought you a plate. Would you like to eat?" And he goes, "I really would, but I'm shaking so bad. I don't know if I can do it." And the little boy, like, gets me every time. The little boy stood there and cut up his meat and fed him bite after bite after bite. As this mom is watching, and it's kind of from the outside because she doesn't, you know, it's not part of who she is at that point, she thinks. And this was the statement that she made: "What a very, very sweet kid." And this is what the husband says to her: "Well, he should be. He's pouring out what you poured in." Dead silence. I mean, she just didn't even know what to say to that. Because, of course, she poured into him. You know, we knew that from, you know, the outside of the story, but she didn't know that. And she's just like watching this kid in amazement. As moms, as caregivers, as people, even it can be husbands. My husband has been being a caregiver to me for 2 weeks. It can just be so hard to know whether or not what you're doing is really taking any kind of effect. So today what we're going to do is we're going to go to 2 Timothy. And do you want to put that first thing up there, honey?
The verse?
Yeah, whatever's first.
That's what's first.
It's not on the back. Okay.
No.
So this is Timothy.
Yeah, I got to work on that.
And this is Timothy with his mom and with his grandmom. And let me go ahead and read it from... Oh, that's perfect. Thank you. Why don't you read it?
Want me to read it? Well, yeah, because I guess we've swapped roles. So you go ahead and run the projector then.
Okay. Well, yeah, okay. Well, okay.
Oh, aren't you glad that it doesn't take rocket science to do this stuff? Okay, 2 Timothy 1, 1 through 14, the ESV. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well.
So let's stop right there. So what this is saying in essence is that I know what is wrong with me. I'm looking for the thing for my foot to go on. And
it's not there anymore. Do we?
No, I'm good.
Do I need to put a bar?
No, I'm good. So I'm like, is my foot finding that bar? It's because it's a different table. Sorry, people. Anyway, so what Paul is saying to Timothy, Timothy is Paul's protege. It's his son in the faith. It's the one that he is speaking life and love into and training and helping to bring up in the ways of God. Even though he's a man, Paul is addressing him, and he is acknowledging a faith that he knows has been passed down from him, from grandma to mom, mom to son. So that, thus that picture up there.
You want me to put it back in the picture?
Yeah, you can. And so what I want to say right here is, I'm going to stand up for a minute. What I want to say right here is, and that I know of having studied this area of scripture, is that his dad was known to be a Greek man, which means that he was not of the faith that mom and grandma had. He didn't believe like they did. And so everything that was instilled into Timothy was instilled by women. Everything, I mean, here, this, out of all the people Paul could have picked, or God could have picked for Paul to talk to, he picks Timothy, who's been spoken of and spoken over and loved on and brought up by two very godly women. Doesn't matter who's doing the pouring. Doesn't matter if it's a woman or a man. Doesn't matter if it's a mom or a dad. It doesn't matter, as long as there's pouring going on. And what's so amazing to me about this scripture is that it says that sincere faith in verse 5, but it's also that word sincere is known as genuine faith. Like real. Like it's not like questionable. It's like this is what it is. There is no other. This is the faith that you need to believe in. And so he didn't have any, growing up, he had nothing other than genuine faith for God. Genuine faith. And don't you want to have genuine faith in your heart, in your life? I mean, I know I do. I know that there's been times that I have sat down or stood up and talked to people, and I just can't wait to get to the end of it. Because I'm just not feeling it, or I'm not in it, or I don't get it. You know, it's not clicking with me. God's faithful to speak even during times of that, but I want to not waste the Lord's time. I want to know He's speaking to me. So I speak out of stuff that's been taught into my heart. I don't talk about stuff that God's not talking to me about. I mean, whenever you guys hear us speaking, it's because He's dealt with us about something or other during the week or the last few weeks that you're hearing, because we've dealt with it, we've lived it. And that's genuine faith. That's what they're talking about. That's genuine faith. So dad didn't instill that in him, mom and grandma did. So let's go back, go ahead and start in verse 6.
For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of His own purpose and grace, which He gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that He is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you've heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you.
Do you want to say anything about 6 through 8? Because I don't have anything actually on those scriptures. Do you?
Well, yeah. When it says here, she's saying in 6 through 8, actually it's... Now I got to go back to her. Yeah, right here. If you start at verse 8, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our own works, but because of his purpose and grace. I think this is a key for all of us, that Timothy was extended purpose and grace through Lois and Eunice. Mm-hmm. That they ended up being vessels that formulated within Timothy the grace and purpose that God had for him.
Right.
They obviously were individuals that recognized something in Timothy, mm-hmm. and poured into that seed that they saw, watered it, and the plant, and I'm sure that times they pruned Timothy and did everything that they needed to do, and that was established for Timothy. It says here, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began,
right.
which is an amazing principle when you think about it, because we think of our life starting when we're born, right? Jesse was sharing today that he suffered trauma. My trauma, it was my birth, you know. So just being Jesse. But the point being is that there is a life in God before this life. That it was before the ages. It's his purposes and his plans were formulated before you were here. And how that all works out, I'm not exactly sure. But just know that we're just not an accidental speck that shows up here on earth. And then we try to figure things out. But there's a grace and there's a purpose for our life that's been pre-established, some say predestined, preordained before we were even here.
Right.
Which is pretty cool when you think about it.
It's
there's no accidents.
Yeah, it's we can let that be a burden to us, or we can actually let that fuel that or rekindle that flame in us. It can do one of two things. And if we are, and that's why he's talking in verse 7 about not being fearful. You know, don't be afraid.
And you haven't been given a spirit of fear.
Because you've not been given a spirit of fear, but you've given a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. And so whenever we hear that we each have a destiny, that God gave us a purpose, he's called us to a plan, some of us go, no, not me, I don't want it, you know, I'm not taking that on, I'm not going to carry that one. That's because we know ourselves as from our human point of view. We know ourselves from what we see inside, but God knows us from a spiritual point of view. And he sees the final product of what you're capable of, not all of the stuff that you're going to need grace for to get there. Let's say that again. That's a really good sentence. We see ourselves as humans. We see the human part of who we are.
The frailties.
The frailties, the accidents, the oops,
problems.
The problems,
yeah.
The all of that stuff. But God sees us in the spiritual as the finished product. And he doesn't, all those steps in between and all of that stuff, he doesn't look at those and say, oops, I shouldn't have called her to do that or him to do that. Mm-hmm. He sees the final product. And then he makes us capable of walking through. Was it God's plan for both of us to suffer divorces? No, it wasn't his plan. But we're subject to people having a choice, and it affects our life. And so therefore, all of these things play out that we allow ourselves to either use as good or bad into that destiny that he's planned for us. Like, you know, someone said something to me, like, because I always felt that I was called to be a pastor's wife. I said this a lot, even when I was a young teenage girl. And then someone said something to me in just in the midst of my divorce. What now? Said that to me. What now? I'm like, what now? Ouch. That kind of hurt.
Like rubbing salt in a wound,
right? It was
right?
Rubbing salt in my wound.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, what now? There, you know, I'm done for. There's nothing more for me. But God took plan B. When he originally said it as plan A, he took plan B, And he made that plan work.
It's plan A.
Plan B became plan A. See? That's how that works. Does that mean, and that means that we will make mistakes. That means there will be bad things that happen to us. We live in a world full of sin. We are going to be affected. We will receive shrapnel. There will be a fallout. The sun rises and falls on the just and the unjust, and the rain falls on the just and the unjust.
It's called collateral damage.
Collateral damage. And so we will all suffer that. How we choose to allow that collateral damage to be used in our lives, in our calling, is totally up to us. We can use it and, you know, go off the deep end and, you know, say, well, God, you weren't watching me through that time. You didn't care that my husband did this or did that and did, you know, left me with two kids and on you, you know. We could say that. There are people that would say that.
I'd like to say, are we going to let our difficulties make us better or bitter?
Exactly.
Are they going to elevate us to a greater awareness of God's presence?
Exactly.
A greater awareness. Actually, Jesus calling all this week has been talking about that. But are we going to let the issues that come against us, are they going to be something that causes a heaviness, or are we going to rely more on God?
Right.
Because
exactly.
That's the opportunity. The opportunity is either try to, you know, sometimes mask the pain or drown out the pain by, you know, by changing your situation, what you're looking at, mm-hmm. you know, being distracted, or even sometimes lashing out at others, you know, as you're receiving pain, by golly, everybody else needs to receive pain around me. Or when we have the difficulties in life, are we going to mm-hmm. say, Lord, I need your grace. I need your strength, your supernatural empowerment to go through this moment.
Right.
And it will come.
And for some reason, those moments can be used in our lives as those stirring up, fanning the flame. God can use that. He can. I can say to God, okay, God, why this? Why that? Or I can say, okay, God, you've allowed this for a purpose. Let your purpose be done in me. Help me through this time, and I'm going to fan that flame. I'm going to mm-hmm. get down there. If I have to blow on it all day and all night to get that flame into a fire, I will refan it. I will rekindle that flame in me that is my calling in God. Because his calling is yes and amen for my life and for yours. Yes and amen.
Love that song.
Yeah. Okay, So verse 8, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. So you're saying prisoner. Okay, so Paul's actually in prison writing to Timothy, who is not in prison. And he is saying, I, the prisoner of the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. So what he's saying to Timothy is, it's kind of like the flip-flop. If we were Paul and some, there was a Timothy in our lives, let's do this together. I'm in shackles here, but what I've taught you is enough to get you out there and get you speaking to people about Jesus, get you doing what God's called you to do. You don't have to wait for me to get out of prison to do that. You don't have to wait for, you know, the perfect opportunity. God's already put that in you with the laying on of hands, with what your mom and grandma did. You have it in you. Don't let anything, even me being a prisoner and in shackles, stop you. Because we can think of any excuse not to do what God wants us to do. And we might think it's a good excuse, but it is just an excuse.
Mm-hmm. No, that's good.
Okay, so verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. That's what he was talking about. Even before time began, God set this one thing. And so, you guys, I have an identical twin sister. And I don't think we look that much alike, but everybody else says we do. So as you get to know us, we don't look that much alike, but she is still my identical twin. And she has a different calling on her life than I do. And we look alike. so I'm just telling you that God has placed a calling in your life that nobody else really can fill. God can reshape that plan A to a plan B to make it a plan A again if we say no, not doing that. He gives us a choice, and he will give it to somebody else to do. But then he really wanted you to do that. Like, that's like saying no to God. That's hard. I know I've done it. I said no. Mm-mm. Or maybe not said it, but everything in me showed it.
Kind of like I'm standing up on the outside, but I'm sitting down on the inside.
Yeah.
Shaking your head, yes, like the good.
Shaking my head, yes.
Yeah, no, but it's like the parable of Jesus where he says that the father asks one of the sons, will you go out and work in the field today for me? And he goes, oh, yes, I will. I'll do it right now. And so he goes and does his own thing all day long. And then he comes to the other son. He says, son, will you go work out in the field for me this morning? He goes, no, father, I don't want to do that. And so he tells him no. But after 2 or 3 hours, you know what? I'm going to go work in the field for my father because he loves me. And so he goes and works in the field. Then Jesus asks the question, so which son was obedient? The one who said, yes, I will, and didn't, or the one who says, no, I won't, and did? So it's a matter of the heart. It's not lip service. We cannot serve the Lord with lip service. And unfortunately, a lot of Christianity is with lip service. You know, say the right things, look good on the outside, but not let our hearts truly be changed. It says this, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And what's he saying here? That this grace that has been, and this purpose that has been established before the ages began, has been manifested. In other words, Timothy, who you were created to be is extremely evident now because Jesus was manifested. He came and he poured out this life and immortality into us.
Right. So the next two verses, Paul is talking about God's choosing of him to be a preacher. God chose Paul to do that. And that's why he's suffering in prison. He says, but I'm not ashamed of it. For I know the one in whom I trust. And I am sure that he is able to guard that which I've entrusted to him until the day of his return. So one of these scriptures, let me see, maybe it's in verse 13. It is in verse 13.
Mm-hmm.
Can we go to the last picture?
Yeah, do you want to read it first?
Mm-mm.
No, you don't. Okay. Whoops. Hang on. There it is.
Have any of you ever seen a pattern?
Have any of you ever seen that from the 70s?
Okay, so this was my first sewing project way back in the day.
Oh, that's your actual sewing project?
I made it into the top thing. I actually wore pants. She doesn't have pants on, but I did wear pants. But this was called a, what was that called? There was a name for these shirts. Does anybody remember the name?
A what?
No, it was called something else. I can't. Do you remember? Huh? Tunic? No. It was called something. I can't even remember what the name was. But this was my first sewing project. And I wore that thing out. So it held together long enough for it to get worn out. But when you have a pattern, what this is this tells you exactly point A, point B, point C, point D. So you get this pattern out and you cut the pieces off and you stick it on the material, but you have to put it on there right, because if you put it on there wrong and there's not supposed to be a hole, you know, an opening for material here, it should have been done on the crease instead of on the opening, you've just messed your pattern up. Can you make it different from the pattern? You can. Can you alleviate from the way the pattern was meant to go? Yes, you can. But if you want it to look like that, you better not deviate. You're capable of making your pattern turn out just like that. But you can't deviate from what the pattern is telling you to do and how to do it. So they tell you, lay this edge along the fold so that when it opens up, it looks like the whole front of the shirt, not with this thing down the middle. So the reason that I brought this up is because in 13 it says, and I'm going to read in the Young's Literal Translation, the pattern, well, wait. Verse 13, no, we'll do it here. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you've heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus.
I would say also from his mother.
Mom and unit. Mom and grandma, right.
Paul didn't include them in this, but.
No, he didn't. But that's what he's saying. He gives a silent nod to mom and grandma here because that's what's been placed in him, their faith. It's his own faith. He's made it his own. But I mean, he's giving a silent nod to all the stuff that's been implanted into him. When Eric, everybody was here that one day to celebrate, you know, and we had live worship and all that. And Eric came up and was talking about legacy, talking about heritage. Like, that's what this is here. This is mom and grandma giving a legacy, a heritage, something to Timothy that Timothy can, with assurance, say, hey, this is the way to go, guys. This is it. This is right. This is God. And what I love about that is that making it to where you lay all of this out and you put it together, all these pieces, to make a whole. Each one of us is that piece. Each one of us is a part of that legacy. Each one of us is, without it, there would be a hole in it. Does that make sense? There would be like, have any of you guys ever seen a sweater when it gets a pull on it? And then if you do not take care of the pull, then it can make a hole. And so you have to take care of it right away. So it doesn't do that. So that's what I'm talking about. There will be a hole in the pattern that you're looking for if every part's not in there. Like, it would look really funny, except I guess nowadays some people do wear a shirt with one sleeve only, but, you know, walk around with only one sleeve, or, you know, walk around with the front but not the back, or the back but not the front, which nowadays they could do that too. You never know, but
anything's possible.
Anything's
today.
Possible nowadays, but you know, you understand what I'm saying. It would not be a whole pattern. It would not be a whole garment without every piece fit together. And those pieces are brought together by who's spoken into our lives, who's poured into, who's deposited something. I love that word deposit. And I am not even sure why I like it so much, but it's that word has been resonating in my mind for 2 days. Because a deposit into a bank account brings about an interest. It brings about a gain. Something deposited into Tara from somebody else, it should gain something. When it's deposited into Tara, because they've put it into Tara, and now Tara puts all her stuff with it. As God says, Tara, you do this, you do that, you do that. And then it looks like Tara's. How many of you all have ever remade a recipe? You didn't like the way it looked one way, so you kind of played with it.
How many can cook? No.
How many of you cook? Yeah, right. But, you know, I make recipes all the time, my own recipe. And my own recipes never taste the same from time to time because I was taught just throw this, throw that, throw this, throw that in there. But they never taste the same from one week to the next because I don't write a recipe out. That's hard to teach somebody to do it that way. But if you put all the pieces, all the recipe pieces together, the outcome is it tastes what it's supposed to taste like. But what if you left something out? A very important part, like a cake, and you forgot the sugar.
Or the eggs.
Or the eggs. Or, you understand what I'm saying? Or the gravy, and you didn't put the thickener in it. It'd just be water. Dark water. Not gravy.
They should take notes.
Dark water. dark water.
They should take notes. This could be a cooking class now.
But all I'm saying is if there's something missing, you can tell.
Right.
I was watching a cute little movie the other day, and this man was helping, again, people make cookies for the homeless. I don't know why I've gotten on that track with movies and stuff, but I have. But and there, he's like, mine are better than yours. And these two women take a bite of his cookie, and they stand there. He turns around and walks away, and then they spit it out because it was not the way it was supposed to be. You can tell immediately. You know that. It tastes like nasty. You're thinking sweet, and you get this mouthful of sand. And it's just not the way it's supposed to be. God is saying, hey, listen, I have a call on your life. I have a purpose and a plan for you. And when I instill that in you, whatever you do with it, you do with it. But I'm just telling you, I'm going to remind you at times. I'm going to have Paul, but his name won't be Paul. It'll be, you know, one of your friend's name or whatever. He's going to remind you of the calling that God placed in your life. He's going to remind you that God placed his finger on your forehead and said, you're called to do this. And he's going to start fanning the flame that you've let kind of kindle, you know, go down a little bit. Because if it says fan the flame, then what that's saying is there's a reason that it needs to be fanned in the first place. We've let it go down too far. So our friends can fan that flame in us, or, you know, our godly spiritual moms or our pastor or whoever can fan those flames in us to re-kick that back up. But let me just say, you don't need anybody but you and God. God's placed this calling in you before you were ever even born. God's placed an anointing on you to be able to complete that calling. It's great when you have other deposits that are put into you by other people because it rounds you out. It makes you relevant. However, you don't need anybody else but God. God's all you need. And that's why in verse, can we move to 14? Mm-hmm. In verse, it says, by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. The end. I mean, right there. That's what it says. By the Holy Spirit. So that means Holy Spirit's doing his part. Holy Spirit, who dwells within us, guard the good deposit that's been entrusted to you. I mean, Holy Spirit will do his part, but you have a part to do. You have something that you must do. And so here's the question. Kind of started out as a Mother's Day thing, but it kind of went, didn't end up that way. But are you? Are you guarding what's been entrusted to you? Guarding doesn't mean guard it and just look at it and shine it up every once in a while and dust it off. Guard it means take care of it. Use it, but guard it because it's been entrusted to you by God and the Holy Spirit. It's been put into you. Are you doing anything with it? Or is that you're just your little trophy that you can bring out and say, look at me. Look what I can do. So-and-so can't do that. Pride. A lot of stuff can stand in the way of our good deposit. A lot of stuff can stand in the way of what God's called us to do. Our excuses, the world's plans, day-to-day life, our own stinking thinking. Are you guarding it? Are you glad for it and thankful for it? Or is it a burden around, you know, like a rock around your neck? It was meant for your good. And if God didn't want you to have it, he wouldn't have given it to you in the first place. Moms have deposited into their kids since day one. Day one. Even before that, like, you know, 9 months of stuff Daddy wasn't able to do. Being productive without moving a muscle. I mean, honestly, you know what I mean? And then 9 months, baby comes, and Mom continues to pour in day in and day out and day in and day out. Isn't that what God does with us, though?
Mm-hmm.
Are you getting a good return on your deposit? Have you placed it in the wrong bank? Are you banking in the world system? Or are you banking in God's system? Are you placing all your things in the world hoping that it's going to all just kind of calm down and pan out? Because we already know the end of the book, and that does not happen. It doesn't pan out. It doesn't calm down. It gets worse before Jesus comes, right? Yeah, right? So we can bury our head in the sands like an ostrich would do. We could put our heads down in there and hope that, you know, life's going to go on passing us by, but it's going to kick us in the tail. If our head is in the sand, it's going to kick us in the tail. So she's okay, Zeke. She's just going around the circle. Luna, you little cutie thing, you. Look what I did. Do you see what I'm saying? God has placed something in you, and you must be entrusted with it enough that you're going to do the right thing with it. What happens if you do the wrong thing? Isn't God's grace just the coolest thing? Because His grace is sufficient for you. His timing, when He wanted me to do something like many years ago down back then, and I didn't do it, He'll make it work for now. Even though He would have liked to have seen it back there being worked, He'll make it work. We need to be the ones that fan the flame. We need to be the ones that say, I'm not going to let anybody mess with this. This is something that God's entrusted to me and me alone. And I need to do the right thing with this. And not just let it sit and be a trophy on my shelf and dust it off once a week and, you know, bring it out and make sure it sparkles still and try it on once in a while and then put it back.
That's good. No, I'm just listening to you, Dave. You can tell that that word's been implanted in your heart, deposited in there from the Lord. One thing that that when you were talking, hopefully I can remember it, this last little part, is when you were talking about the bank. Mm-hmm. And where is it, where are we entrusting it, you know? And I think that's where what we're relying on is really what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Are we relying on our own strength or our own abilities to see God's plan come through? Or do we let our own abilities, our own ways, you know, keep us from believing that God can do this? Because right. I would say that most everyone here knows in their heart that this is nothing that we have to convince them of. They know in their heart, mm-hmm, that God has something more for them. That's what Holy Spirit does. That's that hope that we have in us. But a lot of us want to defer that until, you know, well, whatever God has for me when I die, you know, because I'm too much of a mess right now. But
would He give it to a mess in the first place?
Right. But again, it's in our weaknesses that His strength is perfected. It's where His strength is truly seen is when we're at our weakness. Mm-hmm. So, but I agree. Guard that deposit. Guard our hearts. Our hearts is the storage place of that deposit. Mm-hmm. And if our hearts get to the place where we're broken or bitter or
or traumatized or whatever it is, and we let that become the focus, that deposit that's in us can't be fanned.
Right.
Because it's blocked. And so we have to make sure that our heart stays clear and pure and healed. You know, if our heart's broken, we need to talk to people about it. Mm-hmm. You know, some people say, well, you know, it's just what happened to me, and it's in the past, and it's never going to get taken care of. That's not true. Mm-hmm. You bring that to the light by sharing it with someone that you trust, someone that you know has your best interests mm-hmm. in mind. And you share it, and it enables the Lord's light to come in and bring healing to that. Mm-hmm. And then where your deposit is, because even if you say, well, man, nobody's ever poured into my life. Well, God's there. Mm-hmm. If you're His, God is there. Holy Spirit is there. And like mm-hmm. you said, we don't have to have anybody. Mm-hmm. Timothy was blessed yeah. to have Lois and Eunice. And some of us have been blessed because we've been raised by godly parents. I wasn't, but some folks are raised by godly parents from the very part day they were born. You know, someone like Skyly, you know, just poured into from the very day they're born of the goodness of God, the love of God, those you know, those great riches that we have in Christ. And that is a blessing, but you don't have to have that, because God is enough. Christ alone. I love that. Every time we were singing that during practice, I was able to hold it during worship, but just Christ alone. Think about those words. Christ alone. I mean, right there, if we could live by those, Christ alone. If we could remember that the Spirit of Christ, Holy Spirit, is all we need. You know, though everybody else betray us, the love of God will sustain us.
However, God does place people in our lives. So when you're saying if there's a problem and someone needs to bring it to the light, there are people that anybody in this room could go talk to, each other, one of us. I mean, we are a family of God, and that means that we are open to helping one another. We want to see one another at their best and flourishing in God. And if you're having a hard time with that, you can go to someone. You can say, I need prayer, and this is what I need prayer about. And God can speak through that person into your heart, and there can be a wholeness that comes to you, and it can be a done deal. It's not something that you have to, what's that clip that you clip on? It's like a clip that clips onto a backpack. You don't have to put that weight on your backpack along with anything else. You don't have to carry that any longer. You can unclip and just throw it
caliper,
off.
I think it is.
And just be done with it. Just be finished with it. The main purpose that I think that God gave this word to me was us recognizing that we have the capabilities of being poured into, of pouring into, of having a deposit within us that we need to fan our own flame, because that's what it's saying, is you need to fan the flame. God's not going to fan your flame. He'll fan it for His part, but you need to fan it for yours. But there's a purpose for every single one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And God bless those that have godly parents that can speak into their lives. But God even bless those that don't, because,
right.
you know, their way is a little bit harder because they don't have godly parents to go to. I didn't. He didn't. And God still, His will is being lived in our lives, because even though we didn't have godly parents speaking into us, God will send people to us that we need. So I want to encourage everybody, just really encourage you. What that deposit that's been placed in you, fan that flame. Don't allow the enemy, okay, here's a big final word. Don't allow the enemy to determine that your deposit either gets cut out or it gets more interest put in. The enemy will say, nope, that's not for you. You're not going to do that. But he is not the author of the deposit that's placed in you. God is.
Amen.
And the enemy cannot come into your account and take out what God has deposited in there. Don't allow him to do it.
That's good.
Only people that are entrusted with that account can go in there, and that's you and God. The enemy can try to take it away, but he can't. He can't do it. But we can try and let him. Sometimes we do that, and let's try hard not to do that. Let's protect that deposit. Let's talk to one another. Let's build one another up in your most holy faith, you guys. Build one another up. That's what we're here for. Each other. Okay?
You want to pray? Amen. Yeah. Well, Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to get together. And Lord, we pray that you would just bless every mom that is here, Lord, that has been a Lois and a Eunice in their children, Lord, that have spoken and loved. And even as unbelievers, Lord, that you have given them, Lord, the ability to just care for them, Lord, that goes beyond human understanding, because it's you. It's your love, Lord, in them that allows them to love their children and to love them unconditionally and to fight for them and to stay up all night with them, Lord, when they're sick, Lord, and just to believe the best about them, Lord. We know that that's a characteristic that comes from you. So we thank you and we honor the moms that are here today, Lord. And we just ask you to bless them, continue to let their days be full of hope and full of you, and that the offspring, the children, the seeds that you have given them, Lord, that they would grow up also to be candles of the Lord, lights, Lord, in this dark world, Lord, that will continue to reflect your love to others. In Jesus' name. Amen. And moms, you have this parting gift. Over there is a beautiful plaque, and you can take your pick, your choice. Thank you for being here today. We love you, and have an awesome day.